Father, thank you for this morning and this time we have to study your word. And I pray that as a church, as we listen this morning, that our hearts would be open and ready to hear what you have for us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to resolve early this year to do the things that are necessary for us to be the church that you call us to be. Help us to be willing to make sacrifices if necessary. Help us to be willing to be open to your direction and leadership of us, even if it moves us in a direction that we may initially resist. Father, I pray that you'll help us to grow into the people that you want us to grow into this year. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Around the new year, obviously many people make resolutions, and I'm clearly no different. Although this year I have not made any yet, I'm going to. I just was a little bit behind the ball at the end of last year. And so I have a bunch of notes written out for what I'd like to do this year. And I got to, you know, fancy them up a little bit and make them into something that's a little bit more easy to try to follow. And hopefully I can get through them this year. Because like many people, I set out at the beginning of a year to make some good resolutions and do some good things. And then I realized that they often don't come to pass. Now, good things still happen, but not the way that they were resolved to. For example, one of the things I like to resolve most years is to read the Bible through in a year. And that rarely happens. That's a resolution that gets made on December 31st, and then usually on about January 12th, I find myself 6 or 7 days behind for some reason. And so I'm at least 28 chapters behind, and that takes some time to get through. And so it usually falls by the wayside. And I don't mean that I give up on Bible reading, but I give up on trying to read through the Bible in a year. So this year I let a guy talk me into a program that's real ambitious, and I'm supposed to read the entire Bible through in 100 days. So maybe by shortening the time frame, I'll be able to make this one. And so I got up. We went to visit Devin's grandmother on New Year's Day, and we spent the night. And so I got up on Saturday morning, which was the 2nd, and I said, I'm already behind. So in the Bible I'm on, I had to read 18 pages a day. So on the way home, Devin was driving so I could read, and I got caught up on the way home. But, I'm not trying to say these to make light of things, but we try to make resolutions to change things in our life for the better. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. Likewise, in the church, many good intentions exist, but like resolutions, few of those good intentions or resolutions are followed through on. Churches are like individuals in that we'll try to make plans and have good ideas and good intentions and want to accomplish things, but for some reason, for whatever reason, most of the time, just like with our individual resolutions, it's a failure to plan. And our church resolutions or church intentions or church ideas fall by the wayside. Sometimes they just get dropped because maybe they weren't that great of an idea to begin with. Sometimes you just can't get the backing to get something done. Sometimes people resist a good idea just because they've got to have something to complain about or whatever. And so like New Year's resolutions for individuals, churches have good plans that also go by the wayside. Sometimes churches struggle with growth. Sometimes church attendance can bounce up and down, or you can have a streak where the church is growing for a long period of time and then it goes sideways for a while. Sometimes church attendance drops way off. Sometimes church attendance stays the same or even grows, but the spiritual depth of people drops way off. Sometimes you'll have a long, you can look across for a long period of years, maybe 20 years even, and see that over the course of 20 years, things have basically stayed the same. Even though if you look at a snapshot of these 2 years or those 4 years, things are up or things are down. But over the period of time, things are staying the same. Because sometimes churches struggle with growth. Not just numeric growth, but also with spiritual growth. Sometimes when we look at how to proceed, we're unsure how to proceed. We want to grow spiritually and we want to grow numerically, but we don't know how. Sometimes leadership even struggles with what to do to help churches reach the next level. Sometimes as individuals, we wonder how we can grow. We look around and wonder, how do I fit in with this church? What's my role in this church? How can I contribute to the church moving forward or to the church advancing in some way? Don't make any mistake that what I'm talking about is simply numerical growth. I'm talking about growth as it's totally wrapped up and encapsulated inside of the Christian life and the church that God calls us to be, which means both adding new people into his kingdom, but also attaining the growth that he desires for each and every one of us. We want to be growing, mature Christians, and we want to be part of a growing, mature church. And sometimes what we want doesn't match what we are. But when we read the Bible, I hope that we're left with a desire to be the church that God wants us to be the people he calls us to be, to work with God, to be everything that God wants for us, not for ourselves so that we feel good about ourselves at the end of the day, but so that we can take God's message into the community. We need to commit to God's vision of maturity, which is in Ephesians 4 and is a vision of maturity in both belief and action. The solution when we find ourselves struggling with how to move forward, whether it's struggling with how we fit in individually, how we can contribute to the success of the church, or whether it's just as a church, the church as a whole isn't sure how to proceed or what to do, we need to recommit ourselves to God's vision of what God wants for a church. In short, we need to look at how we can do things God's way. If a church isn't moving forward, that church is going backward. And that's the way it is when a lot of times we want to do things our way. We get stuck in a rut. When we want to do things the way we've always known, or when we want to do things the way we've heard some other group did it, or when we want to do things the way we want to because we're selfish and I got to have everything done my way or I'm going to pitch a fit, we find ourselves being part of a church that isn't moving forward. And sometimes people will look around and say, well, that's okay. We don't always have to be moving forward, but I think Scripture does bear out this truth that if we're not going forward, we're not staying still, we're actually going backward. We're receding in some way. We're losing out on the fullness of what God has for us and what God intends for us. If we're not focusing on what God intends for us, then what are we focusing on? We can be stalled out, but being stalled out isn't staying in the same place. It's actually going backwards. And thank God that God gives us a vision for moving forward in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. He lays out this vision of moving forward that's wrapped up in a quest for spiritual maturity. If we look at these verses, and I guess I will go on and read some of them now. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." In these first two verses, he starts spelling out for the Christians, for the believers that are listening to him, the lifestyle and attitudes that they need to have to be the Christians and the church that God has called them to be. You can't get along with people and have a functioning, successful church if you're arguing with everyone and complaining about other members of the church. And so for Paul, before he even gets to some of these other things about how a church can move forward into maturity, he's got to lay out for them some of the attitudes that they need to focus on and try to have in their lives. Be completely humble and patient, he says, not part ways. You don't be humble with this group of people, but arrogant with this group of people because you know better than they do. It's a package deal. It's all or nothing. We either try to be humble in our lives or we're not humble at all. We either try to be patient with people in our lives or we're not patient at all. If we're deliberately patient with one person and give no attempt towards patience for another person, we're not trying to be patient in our lives. We're trying to treat people differently based on how they interact with us. And so he goes on in verse 3 and he says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." He wants there to be peace in the congregation. He wants them to be pursuing the same goals. And what are those goals? Well, the first thing that he wants them to focus on in their quest for maturity is that they need to mature in belief. And so starting in verse 3, he gives them several goals that they need to focus on and believe in, several pillars of doctrine that are central to the church, and he spells those out. And when he says in verse 3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace," he goes on, and we find that unity by agreeing together with these core doctrines. And he says, there is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And for Paul, those simple doctrinal commitments can bring a unity of spirit that if the believers in the church can agree on those things and stop arguing and fighting about the nuances of them all, but just agree that in common we hold these doctrines, there can be that unity and there can be that movement towards maturity in belief. But Paul also says that we need to mature in action. We need to mature both in belief and in action. And so starting in verse 7, he spells out what that means. And he says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ gave it. This is why Scripture says when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? So what Paul's doing is showing how the Scripture applies to the experience of Christ as they know it. So he continues in verse 10. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And so that one, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Paul lays out there that maturity of action requires certain leadership aspects in the congregation, in the church. And those leadership aspects exist not so people can hold positions and say we're better than others and we're going to go out and do whatever we want because we're the leaders, but leadership in the church exists to help the church grow and be built up into maturity. If maturity isn't happening, there might be a leadership problem. And I don't mean whether we have all these five categories of leadership. I don't mean whether we have elders and deacons. I don't mean whether we have simply a men's meeting. If maturity is not happening in the church, if the church is not moving forward and is moving backwards, there is a problem of leadership. We can have maturity in belief, but if we don't have maturity in action, there's a leadership problem. And God's goals are not being attained or met for that particular church. So Paul lays out here in Ephesians 4 in these 13 verses his vision for moving forward. It's a quest for maturity, a maturity that takes form as we resolve to think properly and then to act properly. But it starts with each of us. Each one of us needs to resolve to grow in maturity. We can't do it all by ourselves. Not one of us can do it for everyone. 20 of us can't do it for everyone. 75% of us can't do it for everyone. If you hear one thing, hear this. We will not be a maturing, growing church until each one of us resolves to grow into maturity for ourselves. You know, it's not wrong for a church to be small in number, but it is wrong for a church to be small in thinking. Sometimes churches make excuses for their size. And every time a church talks about, or say a leadership meeting or a member of a church talks about, we need to grow, we need to add members, we need to reach out into the community. When excuses get made about why that can't happen, or that's been tried before, or there's nothing wrong being the size we are, which is true in one sense, but not true in the sense intended, that church is small in thinking, and that's wrong. God doesn't plant us here so that we can grow up and just grow for ourselves and be selfish. God plants us here so that we can be a light to the community around us. He plants us here so our roots can grow into the soil of Jackson County, so that we can spread outward and reach people and interact with people, touch people, find people, help people to see Jesus, to learn about Jesus, to know Jesus. That doesn't happen when we think small. We need to think big, even if as a congregation, our size isn't big. It's not wrong to be small in number, but it's wrong to be small in thinking. Likewise, spiritual depth and laziness cannot coexist. You cannot have a spiritually strong or a spiritually deep church if there are lazy members in that church. Because the laziness is going to bring down the whole. And some members can strive for spiritual strength and spiritual growth, and they can attain it on their own. And they can contribute towards a growing church. But that church as a whole cannot be considered to be strong or growing if there are lazy members who are bringing down the whole. It's just the way it is, and we can't get around that. I hope that we're not that church who would rather be lazy and who would rather think small, because Scripture calls us to so much more. We have to put our intentions, as I said, remember I said this last week, we have to put action behind our intentions. And we can do that by deciding to do different, designing a plan, and then actually doing that plan. See, if we have the best intentions of all time, but they simply sit in our minds or on a piece of paper as good intentions, they will never find their way into action. They'll never be done. And those good intentions will never come into fruition. We have to decide to do something. Then design a plan to get it done. See that, and I think that's one of the problems with, at least as I've identified my problems in carrying through with New Year's resolutions, is I get a good idea, but I don't always put a plan into place to accomplish that idea. And then when the rubber meets the road and the first challenge comes up, I don't have a plan to get around or through that challenge, and the commitment goes by the wayside because I didn't have a plan that I was working. And that's one of the biggest failures in churches, I think. We intend to do well. We want to do well. We're not doing things because of whatever negative ulterior motive, but simply because we don't always plan to accomplish the good things we want to do. Good ideas have to be combined with good plans and then with action. And so if we have a good idea and we make a good plan, but there's no action, we're still falling short in that area. We have to have all three. We have to have the intention, the plan, and the action. And if we don't, we're not going to end up accomplishing anything. Each of us individually and then collectively as a church needs to commit to a path of growth and maturity. We need to decide on what we want to do as a church, design a plan to get there, and then we need to do it. Sometimes this will take time, and it might take time. It might take a meeting. It might take a couple meetings. It might take several meetings. But what's more important? Actually accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish, or carrying on, continuing to wonder why things keep faltering, continuing to wonder why things aren't moving forward. We need to commit to a new path. We need to commit to a new way. We need to commit to acting upon the ideas and the plans that we make. We find an example in Acts chapter 2 of a growing church and of what a growing church focuses on. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we learn about the early church and what they were committed to. We see that that early church was committed to discipleship. They were committed to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to learning from each other. They were committed to spending time in the temple where they could hear the Bible read and talk about the Bible with other people. They listened to the apostles. They learned from the apostles. They were committed to teaching and to the discipleship that comes from gaining knowledge that they could then act upon. And they acted upon that knowledge that they gained from discipleship in three ways. Through fellowship with each other, as they spent time together both at the temple and then every day in each other's homes. They acted upon their knowledge by caring for others, taking care of the needs of others. As they learned of needs, they would do whatever it took, in some cases even selling property so that funds would be available to help those among them who were in need. And they also engaged in outreach in their community. And as a result of that, Scripture tells us that God added thousands to their number. And day by day, God continued adding to their number because this church was focused on doing the right things, intending on doing the right things, and carrying through with action to accomplish the right things. This church in Acts 2 leaves us an example of what we need to focus on if we want to be a growing church seeking maturity. The bottom line is this. When we look around us and when we look at ourselves, we find that we're either on the way or we're in the way. It's one way or the other. We can't be both. If we're not on the way towards spiritual growth and maturity in our own lives, then we're in the way. We're at least in the way of ourselves. And it could be worse. We might find ourselves in someone else's way, blocking them and obstructing them because of whatever bad attitude might be hanging us up. God forbid that we would be blocking someone else from attaining their fulfillment in Christ because we're in the way. And so today, this morning, as we close our time here and we can think about our own spiritual lives, God's calling upon our lives, and we can ask ourselves, am I on the way or am I in the way? And I hope for each of us that we find ourselves this morning on the way. But if we find ourselves in the way, then we might need to stop and pause and take some time to consider what it is that's holding us back, why it is that we're blocking ourselves and perhaps even others from advancing along the path of Christ that God has laid out for them and for you. This isn't always about other people. Sometimes it is about you because God might be calling you in your life to reach a new height. But if you're in the way, you're not going to hear Him and you're not going to be able to do that. If we're in the way, there's some blockage somewhere that's blocking us from listening to God as He leads us and following Him where He leads. We need to go back to the basics. We need to look at the example in the early church, find out what they did, why they did it. And then we need to intend to do more, to decide. Then design a plan for our growth as individuals and as a church, both physical, spiritual, numerically. And then we need to do it. We need to put intent, we need to put action behind our intentions. We need to get out of the way sometimes so that others can be on the way. And let's pray to God that this year all of us will find ourselves on the way, closer to Him, growing as a church, not so that we can say good things about ourselves, but so that we can reach more people for Him with His message, with His gospel, with His love for others, so that we can touch those around us, so that we can bring His message of light and goodness into their lives, so that more can know Him. And that in this community, we can know that more people are being brought closer to God as God works in and among and through us. Let's pray. Father, please be with us as we hear Your word this morning and help us to want to be the people that grow and follow You more and more in our lives. I pray that You'll help us to consider the examples that You've left us in Your Bible, in Your word. Help us to find ways of moving forward, of encouraging others, of building Your church here. Father, I pray that each of us would be on a path towards maturity, and that You will instill within us the courage that we need to keep going on that path, even when difficulties arise. Thank You for Jesus and for His example. We pray in His name. Amen.